Am I in the wrong place? You got looking at me like, oh, what happened? I'm in the right place. Oh, is that a little... Well, that's in the wrong place. Okay. Thank you, Rick. So this month of September, our theme for the month is learning your lessons, living your lessons. And today's talk is called Trained Thought. It comes from Ernest Holmes' quote, "Trained thought is more powerful than untrained thought." Trained thought is more powerful than untrained thought. Well, I could be done if that were the... I'm going to change the title because so what? So what? Trained thought is more powerful than untrained thought. I think my responsibility is to give you some ideas about how to train your thought. So we're changing it to train your thought, how to train your thought to live the kind of life you want to live. And I actually love the word train for this because when we train a puppy, we're gentle if we're good guardians. We're gentle with the puppy. We do not expect that puppy to learn right away how to sit, how to stay, how to pee on the outside instead of on the inside, whatever it is we're training that puppy to do. We're gentle with that puppy. We know that that little being is just learning about life. And we as the guardians kindly and gently keep showing him the way, right? So when we think about trained thought, we need to think in the same terms, kindly, gently training our thought, that we're the good, kind guardians to ourself, that we're the ones that are saying, yes, I can make a difference in my life by having my life be an expression of God's life, having my life be positive and upbeat, having my health be whole, complete, and perfect, having my relationships being in sync. And I do all of that by remembering who I am and training my thought. So last week I talked about how important getting still is. And that's the first place to train thought. That's the whole point of meditation, is to learn somehow some skills, some tools to stop that busy monkey mind chattering in your head, the one that's fear-filled and telling you all the things you did wrong and how, if you didn't do it wrong, everybody else did. That one, that monkey mind. And to get that quieted, still, so what you can hear is the voice of God in you, the voice for God in you. That voice that tells you and shows you the way to live a happy, productive life. So trained thought is more powerful than untrained thought because you train it to be in alignment with your highest spiritual truth, with the truth of your being. I'm agreed with. I love that. So I was reading about a couple of women who had been friends for decades, and they were playing. Now, they had done a lot of adventurous things together, but now they were mostly playing cards. And the one woman looked at her friend, and she said, I know we've been friends for so long, but right now your name is escaping me. I'm so embarrassed. I really hate to say this, but can you tell me what your name is?" And the other woman just looked at her and looked at her for about 3 minutes. And finally she said, "When would you like to know?" So sometimes we train ourselves along the ways of race consciousness that says things like, as we grow older, we're going to grow forgetful. Well, that's certainly, you met my teacher who's the same age as the Oscars. Who knows how old the Oscars are? How old? 86. So she's 86. You see her. She doesn't look 86. She doesn't walk or talk like 86. She walks and talks like an ageless being that she is. So that is a new thought we could have to train our mind to think about. One of the main things that we train our minds to do in alignment with God is to be optimistic about our lives. To know that there's a power for good and we are using it, and it's for us. It loves us. It wants for us what we most desire for ourselves, the good that we desire. It wants for us love and prosperity and joy. And so we cooperate with it by getting still and listening and by being positive even when things aren't looking as bright as they could. And actually, it's probably especially when things aren't looking as bright as they could that we're called to use that trained thought to be optimistic. I read about a couple of men. They were both applying for a job, and you can imagine. So let's call, I don't want any men here. I'm looking around to make sure. If I get your name, it's not on purpose. I'm making up names. Okay, so there's a man by the name of George and a man by the name of Joel. And George is very nervous about this job interview. He is certain he's not going to do a very good job. He has in mind all of the fear comes up whenever he thinks about it. He gets up late the morning of his interview, and he pulls out his shirt, and it's dirty, and he has to get another shirt out of the laundry, and it hasn't been ironed. So he's sitting in the interview thinking about his unironed shirt and not being fully present to the interview. Of course, he doesn't get the job. But think of what Joe did. Joe, every time he thought about the interview, he saw himself being successful. He saw the person shaking his hand at the interview and welcoming him on board. He saw himself having just a great experience in the interview. He planned the night before exactly what he was going to wear. He got his clothes out. They were ready. Already set his clock. He got up early so he didn't have to rush. He got to the interview on time. He was fully present for every question. And sure enough, he got the job. The difference was in the attitude, what each one of those men went into that experience with. So the likelihood, however, for many people is that we're not aware of what we bring to every situation. What you bring is the most important thing. Your attitude is the most important thing you have. And you bring it with you all the time, whether you've thought about it or not. You bring that attitude. And if you have an attitude of can do, an attitude of positivity, that life is good, then that is what you're going to experience. If, on the other hand, you have an attitude of paranoia, of that life sucks and then you die, then that's what's going to be your experience. It's up to you. It is up to you. This thing that made us, this thing itself, the presence and power of God that made us in its image and likeness, which means that we are creators, that we are made in God's image. And for thousands of years, human beings have had it backwards. They made up stories about God, making God like man, making God in man's image, therefore being vengeful. And I cannot imagine a God of love needing to take revenge for anything, because there's nothing outside of it. What could it ever want to take revenge for? So what I know is that each one of you came here this morning with your own needs. And some of you just wanted to see your friends because it's a good place to see your friends. And that's a great need. It's good. Seeing your friends is a very good thing. Some of your hearts are heavy because things have been going on in your life. We were talking yesterday in our leadership council meeting of, you know, sometimes we experience loss. And from that loss, our hearts are heavy, and we have deep emotional pain. And that just is part of life. And it isn't that you will always escape ever experiencing any pain, but When you bring the awareness of God's presence to everything, you start seeing God there. You start looking through God's eyes. And then even in the muck and mire of things, as Emerson said, something sings. Something good is happening everywhere present. And it's up to you and up to me to find it and to celebrate it and say yes to it. So trained thought is, first of all, that thought that is orderly. That thought that comes from the awareness of the divine within. And then is, and then that trained thought is positive. When you truly see yourself as God's expression of itself, then you see everyone else the same way. You see the God in everyone. You see the good in everyone. You no longer fear that someone's going to do you wrong or do you harm, because that isn't in the nature of harm, of the harmony of God. But getting back to the people with the heavy hearts today, one of the things that's really important, I think, is that not only do we have trained thought, but we have trained people to help us. So in a center like this, we have ministers, practitioners, and lay people that are trained in the art and science of affirmative prayer, of being able to listen and listen past your story to the truth. To listen with compassion to what is going on, and to know for you, even in the muck and mire of this moment, there's good happening. There's good for you. Emma Curtis Hopkins, the teacher of teachers, Ernest Holmes' teacher, and Emma said, there's good for me, and I ought to have it. There's good for me, and I ought to have it. Let's say that together. There is good for me, and I ought to have it. Now, when something happens that your heart's heavy or you're filled with fear, if you would just let that mantra move through your mind, there's good for me and I ought to have it. Or God wants me to be happy, to be loved. Or God is in every spot I am. I can't imagine a spot where God's absent. So even in that pain or in that darkness, in those shadows, God is. God is right now where you are. So it's about training our thought to see good, to see God, training our mind to speak good. One of the articles I read last night about this was an article about attitude. And it was just a short piece that said, your attitude brings you everything in life, but you often don't see it. In fact, you often blame other people for your circumstances, for the things that are happening in your life, when really it was your attitude and not theirs that caused things to occur. And then the article went on and said, and then when you finish blaming all the others, you start blaming yourself, which is just as cruel. Remember the gentleness of training the puppy. You gently pick that puppy up. Because if you start yelling and screaming at that puppy, you're going to traumatize him forever. And he's always going to be peeing in the house. Right? I mean, isn't that true? Same with our own minds. When we're so demanding of ourselves, then what we do is we put up resistance rather than making something welcome. So what you do, you train your thought making welcome the thoughts of God, making welcome the thoughts of prosperity, making welcome the thoughts of perfect health. So train your thought. Train it. First of all, still it. I'm still reading Edward Vollion's wonderful book on how to meditate. It is such a great, refreshing book, because he simply tells it simply. And one of the things he says is, I was so glad to have this. I remember when I started to meditate about 30 years ago, after my 10, and I would set the timer for my 10 minutes, I would end up so tense because I was trying to do it right. Anyone relate? Yeah. So tense that I was trying to do it right. And of course, I was doing it all wrong, because if you end up tense, you haven't meditated at all. And he says, even if you've been meditating for 30 years, sometimes a meditation will be difficult. But just let it be okay. And he said, one of the things he does for himself, and I thought it was such a good idea, whatever your meditation place is and whatever the meditation time is that you've agreed to with yourself, go there anyway. Even if you don't feel like meditating, go to that place and just be still. Go to that place and just be. Because those of us who have meditated for a long time, when you do, just the simple practice of being in that place, being in that sitting position, will bring that peace of mind that you desire. If you're trying to do it right, you're doing it all wrong. No one can teach you how to meditate your way. You're the only one who can decide what it's going to be for you. We can give you pointers, we can give you hints, we can give you mantras, we can give you ideas and tools, but you're the only one then who can put your mind in order. And that's what we're doing when we are meditating, training that puppy mind to come back to present, come back to center. And you actually can do it simply with a breath. Just breathe in right now. Put your attention. You can do it with your eyes open or closed. But if you're going to use spiritual practice, use it all the time. Bring your consciousness to the awareness within you, to your heart of hearts. And find the stillness there. And let that, and then just let that deep peace be who you are. It is what you are right now. Sometimes what happens is we look at a situation and we make up a story about it. I know none of you have ever done that. We hear a portion of a conversation or we see an action and we tell ourselves a story about it. And that's a very dangerous thing to do, because 99 times out of 100 we're wrong. The story we've made up isn't the truth. But we'll only know if we check it out with the person. And that requires you to have the confidence that not only is God in you, but God is in that person. And that person is willing to tell you the truth, to tell you the truth. So, training your thought. Some of you have been practicing a long time and you're pretty good. Some of you are brand new and you're pretty good. And I'm just encouraging all of us to come with fresh eyes now for this week coming up, to make a decision that we're going to practice a little bit more, bring a little more awareness, a little more attention to what's going on. How do you train your mind, your thought? You think about what you're thinking about, right? You think about what you're thinking about. What have you been thinking? You can do that by journaling, or just taking a few minutes at the end of the day. What have I been thinking about? What's my mental journey been today? Has everybody been safe there? Or are there some people that would have been very unsafe in my mind? Just to walk the streets of my mind. You know, it's not hurting that other person, it's hurting you. So more attention to what you're thinking about. Think about the truth, which is God is good in you right now. And just let it be. Let it be. I'm complete, and so we're going to pray. Oh, Diane's going to come, and I guess I'm praying a long time. Just take a moment and get still again. Center yourself in that presence and the power and the vastness of space that is God in you. No matter what name you call it, it's that unconditional love in you. It's that creative process in you and everywhere. and it adores you and trusts you and knows you as its beloved. And so this is what I know in this moment. I know that, and I speak this word for everyone here in the first person. I know for those who have been suffering or are suffering currently, I know God's grace, God's goodness. I know God's guidance. I know an upliftment of consciousness, a welcoming, an acceptance of this grace, of this goodness. I know that even the darkest night will end and the dawn comes and it's glorious. I know for each one that each one has people to walk with in this dark night of the soul. And each one has someone to celebrate with in the dawning of the new day. I know for each one that I think about what I think about. And more I think about good. I think about God. I think about infinite possibilities. Not wishing or hoping, but knowing that the infinite possibilities that I claim are already mine. For consciousness is creating through me and for me and by means of me. I know for each one that is concerned for a loved one or for self, that health is normal and natural, and that everywhere present the divine is, that everywhere present this one life is. As vitality, as energy, as harmony, as absolute perfect right action. I know for each one that the emotional life is lived with that deep peace and sense of connection and oneness that is the truth of God and truth of all good. I know for each one that the sense of separation is seen as false. And so there is a connection and a love that is sensed with every other being. Being here on purpose, I know that I am love and I am loved. Being here on purpose, I know that I am whole, complete, and perfect. Being here on purpose, I know that I prosper and have great prosperity and great good. Being here on purpose, I know that what I create for myself is good and very good. I make it welcome. I say yes. Yes, thank you, beloved God. Thank you for all the good in my life, in my world, in my mind. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this holiest of moments. Thanks for the connection and the community and all the support, both internal and external, that I receive. Thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And with my heart just overflowing with gratitude, I simply release this word to the action of law. I know that it is complete. And please join me in saying, and so it is. Thank you.